Good evening. This is K2BAR, and this is the Barrett TechNet. Running the net tonight is K2ZO in lieu of W2TTT, who has asked me to take the TechNet. Normally, he would have an agenda, a discussion, and right now I have a couple things, but I'd like to call for check-ins. And if you have a question or a comment, please note, and we will get back to you. Again, this is the Barrett TechNet. Any questions of any technical nature, and it is open to all radio amateurs. This is K2BAR. Any check-ins? Any W's? How about W's first? This is K2BAR. Okay, no W's. How about K's? Any K's?
This is KC2SQP Stewart, just listening. No questions.
Okay, KC2SQP Stewart. Alrighty, and we've got you down there. And let's see if there's anybody else. This is K2BAR.
DSL, David, no question.
Okay, David, you brought up, I was listening to you on the other night, I couldn't check in, but you brought up a very interesting comment that I will get on to in terms of AFSK and FSK. There are some very, very good reasons why you should use one over the other. Okay, any more other stations? This is K2BAR.
N2OEL, one question.
Okay, N2OEL, we got you, Noel. And one question. Anybody else?
K2Zulu Charlie, no questions.
Okay, Dave, K2Zulu Charlie, we got you. No questions right now. Ready? Anybody else? K2PAR.
KC2ORX.
Okay, Rob, we got you. KC2ORX. And do you have any questions or comments, Rob?
Not at this time, Jim.
Okay, fine. Alrighty, this is K2BAR. Anybody else?
2AMI, Tony.
2TBD, good evening.
Okay, KC2TBD, I think that's right, and K2AMI. Got you, Tony. Anybody else?
K2RPC, Ken, no comment.
Okay, K2RPC, Ken, we got you. And so far, okay, I guess we only got one in the well. Alrighty. Anybody else for the Barra Amateur Radio, Bergen Amateur Radio Association's TechNet? This is K2PAR. I got a short group here tonight. Okay, go to Noel and see what his question that he had. And then we'll go start a rotation here with everybody as they check in. Noel, go ahead with your question.
Okay, this question has two applications. Of course, to amateur radio, sometimes you would like to have a station at home that was computer controlled and operated from a remote location. In my particular case, when I'm on the road, as I get home, I'm ready to make dinner for the XYL, and my friend the CPA, we're in the middle of tax season, it's April 2nd, and his printer died. And I told him, okay, well, gee, I just go buy another one, you're not going to be able to fix it. He said, well, I got to print out these returns, I'm going to leave for Passover. So he said, I got another printer, I'll install it. So I said, okay, I sent him the link for the driver, he installed it. He could not get the thing to run. So I got in my car, I drove over there. All I had to do was open up the folder and run the software, bingo, it's up and running. So he said, go out and buy some software that allow you to do this from home. And I'm looking for recommendations, something to run another person's computer, Windows XP. He does not have professional, he's got regular XP home. Anybody got any recommendations to run another computer from a remote location? This is N2OEL.
Comment, David.
Okay, well, I was going to ask David to pick it up because I know he'd know the answer. Okay, Dave, go ahead.
K2BAR, K2DSL. The one that I use, and there are many, 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 but there's a free, a whole free world around this website. logmein.com. L-O-G, Larry, Oscar, George, Mike, Echo, and then November. Logmein.com. They'll try to have you upgrade to the pro version when you do it, but you don't need to. You can just sign up for the free one. And what you do is you would do this first, Noel. You would sign up on this site, and there's no installation or configuration that you have to do. It's all through the web browser. So you sign up first and install it on your machine. And there's two aspects to it. There's the piece that you would control somebody with, and then there's the piece that runs on their desktop that allows you to take over. And then what you would have anyone else do that you want to be able to do this is go to that website, log in as you, download the client, they name it, and you can immediately take it over. It runs secure over SSL 443, and that's how I administer all my friends and parents remotely. And because it runs on 443, it works in any corporate network, because if they would block that, then you can't do any SSL connections out. So unless they block it by the name, like log me in, then you're good to go from anywhere, and that's what I use. And there are many, many, many other solutions, but this is by far the simplest. Back to that.
Okay, very good. Well, that's information I think all of us can use there. Did you copy all of that, Noel?
Yes. I have two friends. One's a CPA, one's an accountant. One's a lawyer, one's an accountant. And every once in a while, they run into difficulties like this, and I'm driving home, and the XYL is making dinner, and luckily she doesn't like to listen to the radio, because I couldn't tell you this if she was listening to the radio. We used to have aluminum tea kettles, and she melted down a series of aluminum tea kettles because she's not good at boiling water. So now I had to buy steel tea kettles because those will withstand the high temperatures when you leave the gas flame on low and boil it dry. And thank God for the microwave. Back to that. This is N2OEL.
Yeah, well, I think I've been guilty of doing that same thing, so there you go. Alrighty, okay, so I think you were the only one that had some questions. Let me just go through with everybody, and then I want to make some comments on AFSK versus FSK. That was the discussion in the other net on BenZ on 443.1, and why you may want to elect one over the other. But let's go to Stuart. KC2SQP, any comments or anything? Go ahead.
Yeah, a comment. This is KC2SQP. We were listening to Noel on 443.100. Where is that repeater? For some reason, Ron was on KC2DB, and myself, KC2SQP, would not. We transmitted all right, but they could not hear us. Over.
I had the same problem tonight, I couldn't get into it either. 443.1 repeater is in Franklin Lakes. 444.1 repeater in Hackensack, which of course we had been using on that. Problem is that that repeater is down right now. So normally I can get into that, but tonight I was not able to. I only marginal and there was no... I had the same problem you had, so I don't know what the problem is, but that's it. Go ahead.
And that's all I have. This is KC2SQP.
Okay, and we'll take a quickie run through here, everybody, and then I want to start making some comments on the conversation that David, K2DSL, had with Tony, K2AMI. Dave, any other comments you'd like to put in right now?
No, I'm good. Also, Dave Zulu Charlie is a guru at the AFSK as well. So, discuss, I'm sure, jump in. And Noel, I would just suggest that you take two computers and pretend to be you on one and your friends or whoever you're going to support on the other, so you know what experience they're going to go through, just to get familiar with it before you tell them what to do. But you could have them do their piece all over the phone so you don't even have to go there. So if they call you up and it's a new friend and want to do it, as long as they got the bandwidth. I mean, if they've got, you know, you can't do it on dial-up, so as long as they've got a decent internet connection. That's it for me.
Comment? In my living room, on the computer desk, there's his and hers computers. Will this work? We're both on the same internet connection through a switch.
Yes, it will work fine, but you will go out to the internet and come back in. I've actually remote control all the computers in my house through the same, but you will go out to the public internet and then back in. It won't stay on your local area network.
It's all right. I got 3 megs up, 5 megs down, so with Verizon Fios, according to DSLReports.com. Thank you. Over to Net. This is N2OEL.
Okay, N2OEL. This is K2BAR. And let's give it to Dave, and let's see what his comments are about the discussion. Dave, the discussion that Tony and David had before on the other net was FSK versus AFSK. Now, I realize that, you know, FSK, of course, you're actually shifting the frequency. It's like going on CW and then having the secret frequency shifted. Let me keep a second. Okay, where AFSK, you're putting a tone into a single sideband transmitter, an audio transmitter. If that tone is not pure, or if that tone has harmonics, you're going to put out a lot of junk. I think a lot of people don't realize that when it comes to AFSK, that signal had better be pure. And I've heard people leaving their compressors on and doing all kinds of things, and also having a second harmonic to an 800 cycle tone or so, which is still in the passband, which will, you know, give another signal. So sometimes AFSK, you know, is the only way you can do it. But if you have the ability to do FSK, you certainly should choose that method. At least that has been my experience, and I wonder if you'd comment on that, Dave. K2 Zulu Charlie, K2 Zero. K2 BAR.
K2 BAR, this is K2 Zulu Charlie. I missed half of what you were saying. I was in a QSO, actually, on another frequency. I just got back here. I'm sorry, I was half into that when the net started, and I was just finishing up on it. I think your question was AFSK versus FSK. FSK is much cleaner. It's like a CW signal, and you're just switching between two frequencies by 170 hertz. So you're putting out a nice clean sine wave, the same as you would with a CW signal. On AFSK, you're driving it from an audio signal from your sound card, and you can overdrive it, and you can distort your output. You can put out almost a square wave if you run it, if you overdrive your finals, and you can splatter all over the band, and it's a big problem on PSK 31. You'll see a lot of guys on there wiping out half the band with a overdriven signal. And it doesn't help you any. It might look like you're putting out a lot more power on your rig, but you're not. You're not putting out any intelligible information. So FSK is the way to go if you can do it. It's not easy on all radios, because usually you end up needing another COM port on your computer. Let me drop it. I ended up using my parallel port to do FSK. That gives me some other problems too. So I don't have all the information off the top of my head. I have to keep going back and reading stuff because I don't retain anything anymore. I don't know if I answered your question. Now let me know if I haven't, if I can clarify anything. K2BAR, this is K2 Zulu Charlie.
Can I make a quick comment?
Go ahead, David.
Okay. I got to go run and pick up my daughter, so it's going to be about 2 or 3 minutes. But a properly transmitted AFSK is no different than an FSK. Yes, you can overdrive the AFSK, but if you set up your and I can look immediately on my rig and tell, as long as I'm transmitting without the ALC moving on my meter, then I'm not overdriving the signal, and I'm doing exactly the equivalent to what an FSK is. Now, I've also been following a lot of the groups, and FSK is actually driven by, and I might not be 100% correct, firmware in your radio. It's the one that's doing the shifting of the tone that's being generated to it, like a CW tone. There's actually issues with some firmware. In fact, one of a very recent, might be an ICOM or Yaesu radio, has an issue with it, and it's not generating a clean FSK signal. And some of the RIDI gurus say you should do AFSK, not FSK if possible. Now, the reason I went FSK was just purely because my radio can take advantage of filters that it can if I do AFSK. I don't think that's the case for Tony and Dave. They have those filters available in sideband. So I completely agree with what you guys are saying, that under optimal circumstances, AFSK at best would be equal to FSK, but I don't think you should just discount AFSK because you can overdrive it. As long as you do it properly, like I was doing up until Dave made me the cable, I had no issues with AFSK. And I've got to run. I'll be back in like 3 minutes after I pick up my daughter. Back to net, K2BAR, K2DSL.
Okay, well, that's all fine, yeah, if you're not overdriving it. However, you still could have a problem if you had a second harmonic of the audio signal, which is very, very common. Okay, very good. All right, let's go to, after Dave made a comment, and let's go to Robert there. Any other comments, Robert? KC2ORX, K2BAR. Okay, you're a little bit noisy there, Rob. You must have missed something. Okay, and Tony, K2AMI. Just looking at my Kenwood 480, I have the ability to use the very narrow GW filters in the sideband mode, so I could do that. But if I was to go on RIDI, I think I would go on FSK, because it's quite easy with this radio. It's got the port coming out of it, you know. But certainly AFSK to get you going is certainly a lot easier. But, boy, I can remember in the old days hearing all kinds of garbage on there, especially with people with a second harmonic on the audio signal, something they never even thought about. K2AMI, K2BAR.
Yeah, very good. But just the point of interest, I was looking for RIDI signal, and I came across the ARL has a RIDI bulletin. It just kind of ended a few months ago from the headquarters, station W1AW in Newington, and it's at 3.599. It might be 3.6 actually, but I'm receiving a very nice signal, 3.599. And I copied a whole DX bulletin from the ARL, so it's a good way to test it if you want to track out their bulletins. It probably was about a 15-minute RIDI signal. Anyway, it's kind of a nice mode to get into, and I was getting kind of bored with the fact that I was only doing CW and FM, or rather, sideband and FM. I don't do CW. So I kind of got interested in this RIDI, and certainly would encourage other people to think about it, because once you get into RIDI, there's the other digital modes that fall right in place with a little bit of work. Unfortunately, you have to teach the old dog new tricks. It's all new technology to me, all new programs, and you got to learn them. But it's a lot of fun. If I could just drop, I guess I don't, I better drop it for a second here. See, there's a Barra meeting this Sunday night. I think people are aware of that, but we did get the Barra bulletin both up on the website, and you probably got direct mail of the Barra bulletin from Phil Barber. Get a chance to read it and look through it. Really nice bulletin. Dave submitted a very nice April Fool's article I thought was cute. And some pictures of the coffee break of those people who were there, I guess, last Friday. So maybe it must have been Tuesday, yeah. Look through the bulletin. It's a great effort. And, of course, the program this coming week will be to Fred Bruckner talking about the ultimate fox hunt that the DeSade County OEM are using to find lost souls that might drift away from their home. I kind of guess that's it for now, but I'll be here listening. Back to net control.
Okay, very good, Tony. K2AMI. K2BAR. Okay, let's go to KC2TBD. Any other comments? Or the net, is K2BAR. Okay, didn't hear him. How about Ken? K2RPC, K2BAR.
K2RPC. Just one comment. I think Dave left already, but they advertise on the radio. Go to mypc.com a lot. And there's a couple more, like Dave said, though, you have to sign up. Just go to mypc.com, I think it's free for 45 days, and I don't know how much it is to sign up, but it sounds like you just wanted it just to set up a program, so it should be short. Also, I'm listening on 20, and there were some signals coming through. I heard some Mexicans and southern stations coming in very strong, like 20, 30 over, like the next door. All right, so that's no other comments, and I'll see everybody on Sunday. Back to control.
Okay, very good. So I just want to make a comment. I have a Kenwood 480, which has a 9 plug on it that you can plug right into it. It doesn't need any interfaces at all. In fact, this thing will go internet and through your sound card, through your computer. And folks run this radio remotely from a hotel room laptop. It's pretty good radio. You can have the one sitting at home and call it up with your computer while you're away and plug your microphone in and talk on this radio. A lot of people doing that and demonstrating it. It's pretty, I haven't done it yet, but one of these days I probably will. Let's see if there's anybody else out there who wants to check in with any other comments or anybody else any other comments along this line. K2BAR.
F2ID, Ben. I have a question. Audio versus MSK.
Okay, well, we were discussing just that before here, Ben, so we'll do that. I want to open another question. I know you asked me to do the 450 net. Just let me know what dates you want me to start to do that. I know you're going out of the country, so I don't know if it's next week or what. But KF2ID, K2BR, go ahead with your question, Ben. Let's see if we can get an answer.
I'm leaving Monday, so I'm going to be out. I'm going to be out for 2 weeks and probably come back exhausted. So I would like not to be released for the third week also. So starting Monday for 3 Thursdays. That's about what I appreciate if somebody else can handle it. Man, the question is this: I was listening to the discussion, and it was very interesting. And I understand usable audio on a single sideband to achieve the same results as shifting the frequencies. But there was some discussion about filters, or you could do it with filters, without filters. I didn't quite totally understand the business of the filters, how they come into this thing. I guess they come into the audio. And, well, anyways, that's my question.
Okay, I think I may be able to answer that for you. M2ID, K2BAR. I think what Dave was talking about was one of the main reasons that he went to FSK rather than AFSK. Remember, AFSK is basically single sideband in terms of the way you've got your radio set up. But in the radio that he had, you could not use the narrow filters in the sideband mode. This Kenwood that I have, this Kenwood 480, allows you to do that. You can call up and use the narrow single sideband filter in the sideband mode so that they already plan for that. And I think there are other radios that will do that. I know my Kenwood TS-850 will do that. And that was the question, and that was what was going on, where he was using AFSK. However, he had to use the 2.3 sideband filter where he wanted something. Does that make sense to you? Go ahead.
I see. Well, if you're using it in a sideband mode, the filters are on the output mode. I'm assuming that's what you're talking about. in the input mode, am I right? Are we talking about the filters on the input mode or the output mode? Well, let me question that one first.
Okay, in the single sideband position, you cannot change the filters in most radios on the output, okay, because you're running a single sideband mode, putting an audio into it. However, on the receive side, you can choose a narrow filter in the IF, and in my radio, you can actually choose your W filter for single sideband mode. When you do that, you cannot receive single sideband anymore. However, you can receive CW and you can receive, AFSK. What it allows you to do, and I've done it before, is to operate on phone and crossband with somebody on CW. So it does that trick pretty neatly. And of course, in using it for RIDI, and when you're transmitting AFSK, you now have the ability for that very narrow filter to be able to receive the signal rather than have to rely on a RIDI signal coming through a 2.31 filter.
Comment?
Hey, David.
I'm back. So, Ben, the real reason isn't for just, messing around with RIDI. It's for when you get into a contest. In a contest, the RIDI ops are stacked literally right on top of each other. And for you to be able to decode the signals as you're tuning around the band, and it's, as minute a turn on your dial as you can get, you're onto the next signal. In order to be able to not have all the signals coming at you at once, you have to put in a narrow input filter to me. So I'm knocking out all the signals coming into me except for the very narrow one I want. And as Jim was explaining, some radios will allow you to do that in sideband mode. I can't knock mine down enough in sideband mode to cut out the AJ signals. So I have what I think are very excellent filters when I'm in FSK mode that allow me to make the filter so narrow that I can only hear one signal. And in RIDI, you can actually have signals overlapping. So there's two peaks in a RIDI signal, so if you put your two fingers out and you draw two lines down, that's what a RIDI signal looks like. You can actually have another signal overlapping it where half of their signal is inside of the other signal. And as long as you can narrow the filter down where you're only getting those two signals in, then it's only going to decode that one. And that's really the reason that it mattered to me. If you're just playing around in RIDI, you don't need any filters whatsoever. Thanks.
Okay, very good. That's a very good description of the situation and the problem that you have there. What kind of radio do you have, David? Because I'm just looking at my Kenwood here, and I can indeed select any filter I want.
I have the Kenwood TS2000, and you can W and RIDI filters if you're in CW or FSK mode. You can't them in sideband.
Surprised at that, because I've got the, I guess what I would consider the little baby brother of that radio, the Kenwood 480, which came out later, which allows you to do that. So that's very interesting. Alrighty, let's see if there's any latecomers who wanted to check into the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This is K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is K2BAR with a question.
Okay, good to hear you, Don. W2JEK, K2BAR. Okay, what's your question?
Okay, I've seen a number of times a Wyndham antenna has been described. And in this case, it's a 40-meter and up Wyndham. It's 20 side of center and on the other side of center. It's fed with a lateral line at the bottom of the lateral line, which is multiples of 11 feet. You can use a 4-to-1 balance and use this antenna on 10, 20, and 40 meters, and then switch to a 15-meter. And then from there on, from here to the balance, you use coax radio and for this type of antenna. It seemed to me that having a run of multiples of 11 feet of lateral line going up feed point, which is about a third of the way from the one end. Might be better than coax because of the fact that Lateroid has less loss. But I wonder what people have to say about it, though.
Okay, I think we're going to ask Tony a little bit on that. But there's been a couple of different versions of that antenna, as you know. One version uses a 21-foot decoupler on the coax, which goes up to the ballon, the 4-to-1, and comes down. And of course, since it's a rather high impedance, it tends to use that vertical section as the 15-meter antenna, which I don't think really works that well. My solution to that problem is to put another piece of wire on there that's a quarter wavelength multiple of 15. So you put two wires off one side, and that'll work. I've also seen that thing done with both a 600 ohm, a 9-to-1 and a 4-to-1 or something like that. A couple of different times with they adjusted the length. But let's go over to Tony because I know he built one, and let's hear his description of it. And I think it worked quite well. Tony, K2AMI, K2BAR.
Good evening. Again, this is Tony, K2AMI. Yeah, well, I've built two of them so far, and one I've given to my nephew Tom, who's out in Lake Copatcon most of the time, and one I have here in my own home location, and it's called the Carolina Wyndham 40, and I downloaded it off the internet, and it's, again, it's a total length of 66 feet, 25 foot on one side, and 41 foot on the other. Now, at the junction of those two horizontal lengths, there is a 4-to-1 ballon. And then feeding that 4-to-1 ballon is a 10-foot vertical radiator, they refer to it as. And then at the bottom of that 10-foot vertical section, I have a number of ferrite cores, which I've just slipped the coax through. I'm using RG 58, okay? And the cores fit right... are the right size to fit the RG58 through it. I think I have 6 or 8 cores before it goes to a PL59, and from there I can run any length of coax that I want. Now they recommend that you have a minimum of 86 feet of coax from the bottom of the antenna to the transceiver, and it does work very nicely at 40, 10, 30, 17, and 12. Seems to work on 15. Okay, I've got quite a few contacts on 15 on the contest that we've run. I have no complaint about working on 15. And the best part is generally the SWR on all the bands is less than 3. So most antenna tuners in the radios today or most radios will accept an SWR less than 3. It's not flat, but it's between 1.5 and 3 on different bands. Jim, I want to turn it back to you for any questions, and then you can throw it back to Don.
Okay, very good. Yeah, well, you know, I ran across, I think that pretty much describes what the Carolina Wyndham is. I know I took one apart. And the lower section where the decouples, what they had done was just take the piece of RG8X and wrapped it on a ferrite rod. And I'm talking about the commercial version of the antenna. But I have seen a couple of different versions of this antenna, one of them being a double offset-fed antenna, where you put one to get one portion of the band, or number of bands, then another one to do the others. And this thing covered everything. And the interesting thing is it was fed with two pieces of RG8 paralleled up. RG 75 ohm, RG 11. And then brought down to a balanced connection with a ballon, a 1-to-1 ballon. And so you fed it actually with two pieces of coax, and the... I think it was designed by a German, and I think I have it from it's from a German magazine. I think I have it somewhere. If I do, I'll send it to you, Don. So does that answer your question? W2JEK K2BAR.
Okay,
Yeah, I think so. It's just something that I might try. I have a pole now that I use of 15 meters, and I was planning to add a, what they call a dipole, which is just a half wave of wire at 10 meters, to attach it with like feedline spacers about 2 inches of the regular wire. And they say that load up on 10 meters, this antenna as well on 10 meters. And then I saw this article came out. I've seen it's called an FD3 antenna, I think, in Europe. They had a trick in one UST article a ways back where it was the way it was with just any length of ladder line feeding. You could work 40, but to get it to run on 50, the odd feet ladder line, and that would high impedance to a low impedance on 50, a 1 to 1 balance and a 4 to 1 balance. So that's what interested me.
Okay, that's very good. Alrighty. Well, I like 1 to 1 balance because you can make them easy. A coax sleeve type balance. Get into 4 to 1 balance. You have voltage balance and you really have problems with SWR with those type things. Of course, the neatest thing is just a balanced antenna tuner and bring the open wire line down. And, of course, the whole idea with the Windham, of course, is you're feeding it off center, and now you're presenting an impedance that's like 300 or 400 ohms, but in this case, I guess, ohms, and which allows you to use that same antenna point at for a number of even rated. Of course, the 15 is a problem. But there have been a couple of other designs which kind of moved it off a little side and then used a different multiple on the balun. But they kind of scare me. When I get up over a 4-to-1 balun, I get a little frightened thinking about what's going to happen when I turn my Henry on. Going to vaporize it. All righty, let's listen. Anybody else? Anybody have the comments or anything? Anywhere else? Any other check-ins? This is K2PAR.
KC2SCF, no comments, no questions.
Okay, KC2SCF, K2BAR. Okay, good evening, Rachel. How you doing? When are we going to make you an off-center fed dipole?
You have been very interesting conversation. It has sparked my interest.
Well, I'm very happy to have sparked your interest. Alrighty. Anybody else? Any other check-ins for K2BAR?
K2AMI with additional comments.
Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
There's a wealth of information on the websites. If you look for Carolina Windham on the Google search engine, you could find quite a number of different versions of the Carolina Windham. So it might be a good idea for those who are thinking about one to research the different variations of them and check it out. You also can buy one from Radio Works for around $100 if you don't want to build it yourself. And they have several versions, both 40 and 80, and even a shortened 80 meter one. Still too long for my lot, my property lot here. But don't be afraid to use Google. They're fantastic.
It's amazing what you can find using Google. I found some cousins I didn't know existed. So there you go. Found some cousins in England. Your sister told me to put in a couple of names. There they were. And they were as surprised to hear from me as I was surprised to hear that they even existed. So there you go. Alrighty. If nobody else has any other comments or anything, we'll close it up. And Gordon had called me just a few minutes before the net started to let me know that he was tied up with a Boy Scout project, so that's here this evening. So, this is K2BAR, and anybody, any last-minute comments?
K2BAR. Don, I have the More Wire Antennas book from the ARRL, and I think there's a whole chapter on multiband off-center dipoles, so I'll bring it with me if you don't already have it. I'll bring it with me on Sunday to the meeting and check it out. If you want to take it back and comment, that's fine.
Okay, Dave, thanks for the offer. I have the wire antennas book, a classic wire antenna, second version. I've got wire antenna, good book. have a 1929 issue of Cuban Rogue, the original article on which he fed with a single wire. As a matter of fact, that was my first antenna on 80 meters. It fed a dipole with a single piece of wire coming into my antenna novice rig. But I was just curious how people like this one. Thanks much, and I hope W2JK.
Okay, very good, Don. Yeah, single wire fed windows were nice when there was no TV or radios or hi-fis or or computers or telephones. But they're not nice now. But the open wire fed version of it, of course, is not a true window, but it does work. Okay, well, we'll say 73, everybody. Hope has a better attendance next week, but fly just in the last minute. So, this is K2BAR, and we'll listen for any other last-minute comments through here. This is K2BAR, guys.
Question, KC2SDF.
Okay, I'm sorry, Rachel, I just had your call there towards the end. What was it? What did you say?
K2BAR. AC2STF. I have a question with regard to any of these antennas. How far off the ground do they need to be? Can they be off the ground like 6 feet or 8 feet? And then the other question is, since I don't have any trees that I can string it from, can I string it along a concrete wall?
Obviously the higher the better. But if you, I don't know if you remember, not too long, a few years back, there was an antenna in QSD called the Snake, and WB2WPQ built one. And basically what it was a dipole that was insulated. It had a lot of insulation on it, laid on the ground. And we all laughed at him at the time he was doing it, and yet, doggone thing worked. But the answer, of course, is that the higher the better. But surprisingly, and if you remember on field day, well, we used the loop very low to the ground. It was only 20 feet up. And the reason we wanted it was we wanted a cloud warmer so we would get the nearby stations. We weren't really working DX. We didn't care about that. We just wanted volume. And that antenna worked very well. The concrete wall won't make a difference. Surprisingly, you can lay an antenna on stuff like that, and as long as it's not, you know, which will change, of course, its tuning, it'll work fine.
Come in. I was out in Arizona visiting my daughter. I had a dipole. It was about 20 meters. This homeowners association places where as you, the lawn doesn't get cut soon enough, I turn it nonsense. My antenna's allowed. I had a had this thing up maybe 8 feet most, and I was on the P-Work, California, out there, Phoenix, and I did make contact. Another time I went 40 meters, I was at lunch hour, Park and Hackensack, up by the river. I clip a 33 piece of wire on my antenna on the car, using that, and use that to stretch it out. I was, I guess, about 4 or 5 feet above the ground, stretched with a P. This is during lunch hour. I was working in Virginia, Mission, what they call NVIS. It's a near vertical incident propagation type of thing. Cloud warmer type of antenna. It will work. Of course, the higher the better. Actually, the half wave antenna is supposed to be a half wave. A half wave on 40 meters and height's about 20 feet. All over the place with a lot of variables in there. That's the theory, I guess.
Back to that, W2JK. Okay, W2JK, K2BAR. Well, that's very true, and, you know, and of course when the band's open, I remember when I was in college, I had a 10-meter antenna in a garden apartment and stretched across the room, and that was, I guess, during the 60s when there was some really good openings there. And when 10 meters with 15 watts, I was talking to a mobile in downtown Tokyo. Okay, ID. Okay, Rachel, did that answer your question? We'll put an antenna up there and we'll get something working for you. How about that?
Thank you. Yes, that answers the question. Appreciate all this.
Okay, very good. KC2SGM, K2BAR. Alrighty, anybody else with any last minute comments or anything fit in that? This is K2BAR. Okay, with that, we'll say 73, everybody, and enjoyed it. We did kind of do it from scratch, but I'm good at that stuff. 73 all, this is K2BAR.